Hi, and welcome to Wine with Meg and Mal. We're here to help you navigate the world of wine. I'm Mel Gilchrist, joined by Master of Wine, Meg Bruttman, and this week we have a super special guest. Thank you for joining us, Colleen Haggerty.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Now, before we go too much further, we need to do a little shout out.
Oh my gosh.
We're here. We've got a bit of a fan in your mom.
Oh my God, mom loves you guys. I told her I was coming this morning. She's like, tell the girls I said hi. Like,
hi, Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Thanks for listening to us. I don't know if you're our only listener in Kentucky.
In Kentucky, yeah. I know. Yeah.
But it's a long way away. And tell them I apologize for anything I said about the horses and bourbon.
Yes.
Thanks for listening, Laura. Colleen, you've come from dance. Do you want to tell us a bit about your background and how you got into wine and what you do?
Yeah, definitely. So I am your wine merchant, which is sort of like your friendly in-store wine expert. So I'm based at the Richmond store. Have been that kid who's always been in hospo. So since 18, yeah. Worked in hospo, went into wine. That's the sort of, you know, 21 is when we're allowed to, so got into that. Have always worked in Melbourne in the events and wine industry. Took a small break into weddings and then said it's not as fun as wine. So
it could be the worst.
It was, I mean, it was really amazing, but it was like
dealing with brides all the time.
Brides, I know.
I mean, we were all once.
Yeah, oh, God. She was.
I was never as bad as...
You would not.
Planet once, I heard that the bride asked the grass be a certain length on the day.
Oh, yeah.
And the poor wedding planner was out there with a ruler the day before making sure.
When you just say, yeah, it's like 4 centimeters, whatever you asked
right?
for.
Right. So did you have crazy stuff like that? And you were just like, stuff this, I'm doing mine.
Oh, it was more of just like, it was late nights and you sort of go, I used to do Somme, which I loved the wine part of it, but yeah. Then it was kind of like, I sort of want the dinners back again. And
I asked you what you'd like to talk about. We kind of put open options to you. And the thing you came back with was women in wine. So can you tell us why you're particularly passionate about that?
And I feel like anyone listening today is going to go, oh yeah, of course that's what she did. It's either this or American wines or champagne. I just am really passionate about it. So there's a smaller team sort of the women within the wine merchants. So it's a minority, but it's growing and it's fantastic. And I think to, you know, winemakers or viticulturists or whatever sort of the role is, it is the minority. But Dan's is really supportive with it. And it's something we've really grown within the last year. So we do, you know, we do harvests, we do networking events, Q&As, and we're all just really supportive of each other. And I just think, you know, girls supporting girls is amazing and we should be doing more of it. So I'm really passionate about it.
Awesome. What are you saying, Meg? Do you think more women are getting into wine? Do you think it's the industry is being a bit more open now?
Winemaking's tricky. It's never really that the industry hasn't been open. It's just that it has not been accommodating of women who have children, and unfortunately, until we can fix science so that men can have children, 50% of graduates out of university, winemaking and viticulture are women.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing.
But if you look at my stage, or say mid-30s stage, reduced to about 27% are actually gainfully employed in those roles, because it's just they make very little accommodation and the horror. If you talk to women that have been through it, you know, I've told this story before of one woman had to go into the pump housing in a vineyard to express milk. You know, not helpful. So it's not made easy.
Yeah.
And so we're losing where there's attrition.
So we're a vast majority in winemaking, viticulture, and then say even in dance and retail. Do you know about hospitality, Colleen?
I feel like I was actually just at a Sommeliers Australia event last week, and I think the sort of understanding with that is that's lower as well.
Yeah.
And it was sort of just how do we get them, at least from a hospitality pew, like how do we get them in when they're younger and sort of build them up? I think we sort of see it everywhere a little bit. But that being said, it's growing. And I think the biggest thing we took away from it is, you know, take that leadership opportunity. Like if you see someone who's maybe got that interest in it, have a chat with them, see if they want to grow that interest and just do what we can.
Awesome. Well, we're going to talk through some brilliant wines today with some amazing female winemakers. But first we'll jump to you. We'll stick with you, Colleen. What you been drinking?
We've been drinking Lethbridge. So I went out to Geelong last weekend, little drive out there. It was absolutely gorgeous. And like Lethbridge has quite a few different labels under their name. And I bought the most of Between Five Bells. So they did a really beautiful, it's a Pinot Noir and a Meunier blend. And it's just, it's so good. Carbonic maceration. It's crunchy. It's pomegranate, like summer red in the fridge. Loved it.
Yum. How much?
We love that.
Oh, I'd say it was 30-ish. Yeah. Like, definitely under 50.
You're like me. Everything's around 30. Yeah. Even if it's 60.
You think everything is 30.
So what, how I justify my spending?
Yeah, it was probably more like 38, which is really like 40. But if you say 30, then it's like 30, which is fine.
30 is acceptable.
It's girl math.
And Meg, have you got a fun fact for us?
I have. So on the sustainability, there's a thing called the Sustainable Wine Growing Roundtable. I don't know if you're aware of it. It's an international group of which I am a signatory to it. And all of the big retailers in Europe got together. So Lidl, Aldi, Waitrose, Tesco's, blah, 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 including the Wine Society, and they have agreed by 2026 that they will reduce bottle weight to 420 grams.
Wow.
So
music to
they
your ears.
Will not accept anything over 420 grams. And if you've got that buying group saying that, freaking awesome.
That's massive.
Because
that's
I've been saying for years, everyone's dragging the chain a little bit on sustainability. It is a lot to get your head around. It's a journey, not a destination. But you're going to be forced to. Yeah. So why not get ahead of the curve? And now you're going to be forced to. So I'm really excited. Ours are 455. Yeah. So, but we'll have to go back to the glass manufacturer and say, oi, you know, let's do something about it rather than this stupid container dispot scheme that's going on in Queensland. Do not even start on that.
Okay.
You'll have to. It's a whole episode on that.
Oh, God.
If you want a fun fact or stupidity. But anyway. So that is my fun fact. It's good to see. Jancis Robinson reported on this roundtable.
Okay. All right. We'll have to look into it.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
Very cool. And that's right up your alley. You love a light bottle.
Well, yeah, like as we said, premium wine doesn't have to be in a heavy bottle marketing woman. And we had the Lewin Estate Art Series Chardonnay lightweight bottle.
Oh, so good.
And you didn't even notice.
But especially if, I don't know, if I think it's good if it's forced upon so that no one else can do the heavy bottle thing and have that advantage. Like, let's just force it.
Yeah. Well, because I think from a customer perspective or retail, some people pick it up and they go, oh, this must be good. It's really heavy. And it's like,
it feels impressive.
That means nothing. But if that's what you think, like,
it does in their heads.
It doesn't in my head. I just know as a marketer that it's
the customer
risk.
Does.
Yeah. They've got two bottles. So making it an equal standing is a great move. I agree.
My favorite's when we've had wines that are like $20 and they're in these heavyweight
bottles. But
that's
what I'm talking about.
Just like, you're like, seriously? Anyway. Consumers.
You wonder how much the wine bottle costs out of that 20.
Yes.
A lot.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because they're not cheap. And then the transport on that.
Yeah.
You know, just by reducing by 50 grams, you decrease your carbon emissions by about 30%.
Yeah.
Because it's the transport from the factory to you and then from you to wherever you need to go, and each of those is reduced weight. So
we love.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, let's get into the episode. Colin, you've chosen five wines. Where do you want us to kick off?
Do we go?
That's Gris as well.
Yeah.
So
do you want to do, I think I had it in order.
Okay. All right.
Kick off with Callie.
Let's do it. So this is Pachamama.
Pachamama.
And Callie was just at that event last week, so it was great to see her again and connect. Because we were talking about, you know, mums and working in the industry, and that's something that she's really sort of all about, is like giving that support and that community sense. So ties in perfectly.
So Pachamama is quite a small brand, right? A lot of people might not have heard about them.
I think so. She does Cloak and Dagger and Pachamama under the same umbrella. So, yeah, I don't know exactly how long it's been around, but I know it's making waves in our stores. We love it.
Seven-ish years, Kelly's, I reckon she's been around. She's been around for a while because she makes the wine at Rob Dolan's.
Yeah.
And so she's in and out all the time. Yeah, and she's a young mum juggling everything. She also got shortlisted for Young Gun of Wine. She didn't.
Did she?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. So it was awful because I saw her and I was on the selection day and I was like, well, when are they releasing it? So I rang Rory and I said, when are you actually releasing it? I said, not for 2 weeks, the shortlist. So I'm just like, oh, I tasted some of your wine.
Yeah.
Just like casually.
So why did you choose this wine?
Chose this wine. It just won in the Dan Murphy's Decoded Wine Awards. It won the best light white for $25 and over.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So what's light white? So you obviously do it based on body weight rather than varietal.
Correct.
When you taste?
So you've
That's great.
Yeah, so it sort of just makes it a bit of a different playing field. So you've got over 25 and then under 25 for your best value. So, yeah. And it's totally blind. I was a first round judge for it, which was really crazy and fun. And yeah, it's just, it's an amazing wine. I love everything that she does. I think it's great, great value. I think she should be charging way more for these.
Yeah. King and Alpine Valleys, is it?
What does she do with the Gruy? Yeah, bang on.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah. So she's based in the Yarra, but this one is King and Alpine.
Yeah, so she brings the fruit in.
Mm.
And just so people know, small producers like this, there's no point in them investing in wineries and having all of that infrastructure. So they do have contracting space in other operating wineries. It's very normal practice. I mean,
yeah.
You know, if you mention small producers, often they don't have their own.
Mm. And it's cool because she selects different of the varieties will come from different regions. So like her Chardonnays, Upper Valley, Yarra Valley, Upper Valley, Yarra Valley.
Yep.
Is that right? Yeah. Sounds weird when you say it.
Upper Yarra.
There you go. Yeah. So it sort of comes from all over.
That's beautiful.
Mm.
It's very textured. It's got a definite Gruy texture rather than Grigio, but it's got a Grigio finish, if that makes sense. That sort
I've
of
never
chalkiness.
Had that before. That's so good. Mm.
Yeah, I've had it, Young Guns of Wine. So we had to have to taste a few of their wines.
Yeah. No, she does it like it's on, some of it's on skins. There's a bit of lees going on with it, a little bit of French oak.
Like, beautiful. Fresh. And what's it retail for?
I knew you were just about to ask me that. I don't know it off the top of my head.
I could get it.
I will.
Under 30?
I did print out the invoice from buying the wines, but it's sitting in my computer bag.
Oh, well, if you open your Dan Murphy's app, it's probably in your shopping purchases.
I didn't go do – I do it online at work.
Fair. Yeah.
It's on my computer.
27.
Yeah.
So the category was over 25 and literally anything.
Yep.
And this for 27 has won it.
Took it. Yep.
Awesome.
So, I mean, you can – looking at stuff in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever it may be. And, yeah.
I feel like this wine has the flavor profile of Grigio but the texture of Gruy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like it's all citrus forward. I'm not getting much like stone fruit and stuff, but it's got that amazing texture, which makes it super yummy. That's right up my alley.
No, that's lovely. And it would be better a bit more chilled. That's my fault for picking the wines up this morning on the way through. I had to go and get my tempura bits from the Japanese store.
Essentials.
But I think too, when people sort of, you know, sometimes they get not scared of Grys, but some Grys can be really Gruy.
Yes.
And this is not too loud and crazy and wacky. It's beautiful.
Awesome. And it just goes to show what that region is doing in terms of cool climate, white grape varieties.
Yeah, awesome.
Just beautiful.
Yep.
What year was it? 22. So cool year. All right, next one.
Cool.
Yeah, let's keep going. That was a good start.
I'm like cautiously aware that I can't slurp in the microphone.
No. Bond will get very upset.
I'm leaning back when I do that.
Bond's out for you.
Bond will get very upset.
Although it doesn't really stop Meg, to be honest.
No, I listen to myself now and it's not so much slurping, it's the spitting in. We have the metal spittoons at home.
Yep.
And normally I put a piece of tissue paper in, but just the other week when we were doing it, I was listening and went, oh, no, I obviously haven't put it in because you can hear literally the spit go. It's part of the job, people.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
You know, although I do hate the sound of people chewing.
Yeah, well, that's the main thing that we definitely can't have on the podcast.
Oh, no, I get told
what are we chewing?
If I have got cashews and I'm shoving them.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. Come on, let's go.
Do one.
No, not yet. Okay, Queely.
Queely. We love everything about Queely. So you've got Kathleen, Kathleen and Kevin, just pioneers, leaders in the Mornington industry, specifically like the Pinot Gris and Pinot Gris Share. They're just outstanding, definite leaders.
So this is called Queely Tussie Mussie Pinot Gris 2022. So they've got Merrick's Wine Store. Is that what it's called? That's where they sit. They used to run their cellar door out of Merrick's.
Oh, I didn't know that.
General store, yeah. And then she'd have other people. I don't know if she's still doing that. But they started off with T. Gallant.
Yes.
Which might have predated your living in the country. I don't know.
Probably.
And that was probably one of the first, her and her husband Kevin, first big Mornington brands, and so much so that it attracted, obviously, Treasury or Fosters as they were then, and they bought them out and everyone was just hot because it was tiny. Claire Halloran, who was at Tarawarra, she was the assistant winemaker there.
Okay.
And, you know, they bought them out and everyone was just horrified that – well, not horrified, just quite shocked that such a big wine company would be interested in something so small. But they knew they were onto a good thing.
No,
and Kat's just gone onto bigger and better things. She is the queen of Pinot Gris.
Oh, that was one of my fun facts I had written down from Mr. Halliday himself.
Well, what did he say?
Oh, no, literally, queen of Pinot Grigio. Like, that's what he's dubbed her.
Wow. This, my God, the texture, once again, it's all in the texture. The oiliness. It's mouth coating. It is sensational.
Yeah, 13.6% alcohol. So potentially a little bit higher. We have this thing, if you see that 0.6 or 0.2, it's usually half a percent, whereas if they say 13.5, it's anywhere sort of around that. But if they specifically say 13.6, you know that's quite possibly a little bit higher. That's our theory. It feels warmer.
Yeah.
Than 13.6 to me.
A bit more body to it, more
mouthfeel. Bit of residual
sort of
sugar
on.
In there, richness. I'm just thinking, I know we did a lot of cheese last weekend. We did Heathcote Food and Wine Festival, but that cheese at the in the bark that they said that you could heat up.
Yeah.
And Mel couldn't eat it because it's a soft cheese.
Yep.
But she would have been able to heat it up. But we didn't bring any of that. Oh, we should have brought some of that home for you.
I know. Maybe I should do bakery tonight. Yum.
You've just got something out of the freezer, chick.
Yeah, true. I feel like I'm pretty good at just spinning wine and stuff that I don't get too sad about not being able to drink it. But this is one of those wines that I actually went, I wish I could have a glass of this.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely delicious. I haven't had that before.
Yeah. It's great. And I think they do, obviously different stores have a different stock, but there's 17 Rose, there's Tazimasi, there's so many different sort of names under Queely Wines. Or not names, but different like types of wines that they do.
Does she do – she does a Skinsey one too, doesn't she?
I think so.
Yeah, I think she has a Skinsey one. Does she ever use Pinot Grigio?
Does she do Pinot Grigio?
Does she use the Pinot Grigio grape instead of the Pinot Gris grape?
I know. But does she ever use the term?
I think so.
It'll be interesting to see because she does have so many different styles.
True.
Does it maybe have a blue bottle label, I feel like?
Yeah, I don't know. And Mel, are you on what this retails for, darling?
Since I didn't bring 34.
Okay, so it's more pricey, but Mornington Land prices
they
are
do.
Expensive.
Yep, the one with the blue label.
Wow.
So Grigio.
See, that's cool. Yeah. That would be a good tasting. Line them all up.
That'd be fun.
Pick the Gris and the Grigio.
Ooh.
Well, I think this is very Alsacian. It's got that sweetness to it, a little bit of residual, that richness
not
to it.
Not a lot of residual, though, would it be?
But Alsace doesn't
it's
either.
Just
has a tiny touch.
Mm. I don't think a muggle would pick the sweetness in it.
What I love too, so with Cass, so she was the first woman to win a trophy at the Brisbane Wine Show, and she was the first female to get awarded Legend of the Vine by Wine Communicators Australia.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Wow, and she is.
She's amazing.
She is amazing. Yeah. And she's very forthright with her opinions, which is one of the things I really admire about her. I don't think you ever really get to, especially starting off when she would have in the wine industry, you're not going to get far without standing your ground.
Well, you'll love this one too. So I did a little bit of reading this morning, guys. So nicknamed Horror at university, never back down. That was in an article published about her. Like she's strong. She's so well-spoken. Like
smart, passionate, great winemaker. The whole package.
Brilliant. Love it.
And she always looks so healthy.
She's great.
She does. She looks like she's like that people who garden all the time. They've sort of got that glow.
Yeah.
That was delicious. Thank you.
Yeah.
And not something that I would pick up.
Yeah. No, that was a great one. So what have we got next?
I love this one. This one has a special little place in my heart. So we're doing Patricia's by Brown Brothers. So their newest release of their Chardonnay. Really special. So with Dan's last year, our Women in Wine Harvest, we did Brown Brothers. So we actually got to attend the 20th anniversary of the Patricia's Ball, which was then this was released. And we've just got a really great relationship with the Brown family and the girls. So we love.
When I was at uni, this was considered to be one of the best Chardonnays, and it was something that we always kind of coveted to have at our little wine dinners, and it was quite expensive.
Yeah.
You know, we couldn't really afford it. We put in to get it. It was one of the first Australian Chardonnays that stood out, I think, this and Brian Croser's Petaluma stuff. Mm. They were the two, for us, iconic Aussie Chardonnays. Yep. And I couldn't really name another Chardonnay from that era, despite the fact that there was thousands of Chardonnays, but they were all the sunshine in a bottle kind of thing. They were not proper wines.
Yeah.
And this is delicious.
I think the thing about Brown Brothers, right, is they have women in leadership across the whole business.
The whole business. Yeah. It's awesome. And it's a lot of the family too.
Yeah.
Which is cool. So we got to meet KB, Kate, Emma, Kat. Like it's such a strong group of women. They were so welcoming and it was so encouraging. And I just love, you know, they've named it after the matriarch of the family too. So
very cool.
Extra special.
When you say vintage, do they get you up there working?
Listen, I'll say it was working in a very relaxed environment. I know some vintages like
an hour of pump over, yeah, back for cheese.
We picked Greggs, we picked Shiraz, we did a bucket each, but you know, we picked a group of girls who clearly have a strong work ethic because we were doing multiple buckets and they were like, oh, listen, we only expected you guys to just do it. And we're like, no, we're loving this.
Oh,
so it was really cool. Yeah, no, we did picking. We actually made our own little small batch of wine. Which we affectionately named Little Patty after Patricia.
Ah.
So we need to catch up with them actually and taste that. So it was a great experience.
No, that's lovely. Wonderful. And talk about getting your brand in people's minds.
Yeah.
You'll always have affection for people if they do that.
Love.
So this is actually from Tasmania.
Yeah, 100% fruit from Tassie this year.
So where was it beforehand? Yeah, was it all Miliwa?
I think it was strictly Victorian.
Right.
And now, or maybe it was multi-regional, and now it's strictly Tassie this vintage.
They've been in Tassie for a while.
Yes.
Probably 10 years. Yeah, they've had a winemaker down there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I don't think they have anymore. I think they're bringing it all to the mainland. I'm not sure. Anyway, Patricia A. Brown, vintage 2021 Tasmanian Chardonnay. Bloody beautiful.
It's a lovely Chardonnay.
We love a Chardonnay party. No, it's just, it's clean, it's bright, it's fresh. Like you can just tell it's really well made.
Lots of hazelnut on the oak.
The cashews.
Bright acid.
God, that'll go forever. That is quality. Mm. Great vintage too. Yum. The acid really on that is.
It's just keeps going.
Yeah. Need cheese. Always need cheese.
Yeah, lovely.
How much is that?
Well, 53.
Yeah, it's not cheap. It's never been cheap, and that's the thing I like about it. They haven't. They've pitched it from its inception. So, how old did you say it was? Your party that you went to?
That was the 20th anniversary of the Patricia range.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it's always been pitched at a high.
Oh, and I love price they say, price. You know, she wouldn't want her name on it if it wasn't top quality. So they are pretty strict about putting these ones out. Because they do this in a sparkling, a cab, Chardonnay.
Sparkling's really good.
Shiraz maybe? Yeah, I love the sparkling.
I did a tasting with him on Malbec, the winemakers from Brown Brothers, just sort of benchmarking.
Mm-hmm.
And as a thank you, they sent a whole heap of wines. The one bottle that smashed was the Patricia sparkling, but the Prosecco survived the journey.
Good ear.
I was just like, oh, yay. And I told them that, and they said, oh, we'll send another. I said, no, don't be ridiculous. It was very generous. You didn't need to send these wines anyway. It was very generous to send them. Because, again, that's always been a fantastic sparkling. And Brown Brothers, you said you wanted to talk about them because they fly under the radar. I think they are one of these.
Absolutely.
Considered to be a bit old school daggy. And I think if people taste the wines, they'll realize that they're actually an amazingly innovative modern company.
Absolutely. Yeah. Then the Tarango. I don't know if you guys have.
Yes.
I love the Tarango.
I still haven't tasted it.
I love it. Yeah. It's like my go-to, like Friday night, we do homemade pizzas. Yeah. Always grab a bottle of Tarango.
No.
Yeah.
Not mine. No, not me.
Oh, I think it's on special right now for $16.
I was going to say $17.
The price is right. Yeah,
and it's on that weird bottle.
Yeah, I'd love it though. But I think...
So for anyone listening, it's like a crunchy red type style.
Yep. But it's actually a great variety. It's a hybrid.
Yeah.
Tortuga nacional, however you want to say it, with just your table grape, right?
I think. Don't know, but they built it for... They made it for cool climates for the Whitlands Vineyard or up their way. I remember when it was first released, we were all like, why? Yeah. But it's got a place in the market and it's doing well.
Well, I think it works too because they've been around for so long. So obviously, like, our parents know about it, like, we may know about it, but it's fun. It's nice to sort of get, like, the newer drinkers into something a little bit fun, a little bit, it's not scary wine. Yeah. It's just can have on a hot day. It's a nice chilled red.
Yep.
And then hopefully one day they move up to this stuff.
Awesome.
Where do we go now? Do we do Cabernet or...
Yeah,
or
probably, hey.
Cabernet Malbec. What do you want to do? One's a 19 and one's a 21.
You pick. You're the boss.
Let's do, Yarriering. It'll be a bit more lighter in style than I'm not the boss, but Yarriering, Agincourt, 2019. The amazing, oops, I've just spilled it everywhere, Sarah Crowe.
Icon.
So good.
She is. And she's just such a lovely, down-to-earth person.
Yeah. The thing I love about Sarah Crowe as well is she's just so, like, she's a great winemaker, but she's actually this incredible business person as well. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yarriering. She, like, runs that place, eh? Like, she's not just the winemaker.
She's winemaker so general
cool.
manager.
Yeah. It's so cool. Who is that? Like, there's not many winemakers fill that role.
No. And she has got a very good business head on her shoulders. And she's also very mindful of her team.
Mm.
You know, she's just done a wine, Crowe by George or whatever it is with, well, Patty, I don't know if this is a secret. Patty's done the label for it.
You heard it here first.
I hope it's not then.
Well, she put it on her Lush Creative. It's Crowe by George or something. So it's the viticulturalist and the winemaker.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
No, if it's out there already, we're just giving you a bit of hype.
Let's run this pasta before we put this episode out, hey?
I'll text you. Probably. I think
I'm just live in from Sarah Crowe.
So, Colleen, why did you choose this one?
I think it's a name that, or it's a wine that you just, I'll start over. It's a name and a wine that everyone sort of comes in and they look for it and it just automatically commands respect. You know what you're talking about. It's highly sought after.
Yep.
And there's just some of the wines that she does that you just can't get. And it's really awesome. And I think too, I don't think you would necessarily, like if you didn't know about the wine, you wouldn't necessarily know that it's a female winemaker. Mm-hmm. But she's just done so well. Like, what are we looking at?
The label. So I think it's...
Oh, so it is out there.
Yeah.
Oh, phew. All right.
Love.
But yes, no, absolutely. I think a lot of people who know the label would never guess.
No.
Yeah.
No. And she did, what was she, 2017 Halliday Winemaker of the Year. She was the first woman ever to receive this award. And 2021 Gourmet Traveler Winemaker of the Year, and then Winemaker of the Year for the ASVO in
2017, how long has Halliday been going? How many decades did it take?
90s.
Yeah.
Wow. It took that long for a female winemaker to get that award.
Oh, I didn't even think about it in that sense. Yeah. She's the first.
Yep.
That's what Colleen just said.
2017.
Wow. Yeah, we had that. We were calling the Year of the Crow.
I love that.
Because she, in one year, she just got everything. So she came from the Hunter in 2013 to work in the Yarra. Really smart bringing someone from outside because previous to that, you'd had Paul Bridgman, who's now at Levantine Hill. There was Mario Marson. Was he there as well? No, he was at Mount Mary. Anyway, they'd had sort of locals in, and bringing in someone from the outside really refreshed the brand. She's done a great job with the wines. I mean, even her Pinot, she astounds me. She should not be allowed to make good Pinot because why is her site great for everything?
Everything. She does it all.
And also her Chardonnay, she doesn't have really good refrigeration. The winery is really, really basic. She ferments everything in these old tea chests. Have you seen them?
No.
So the old tea chests, you know, the wooden ones.
Yeah.
Sort of, I don't know, what's that, a metre by a metre.
Yeah.
Lined with stainless steel. And his Bailey Caritas had them made because they fit the volume of grapes that he picks from each parcel in the vineyard.
I love it. I'm like sitting here with my mouth open.
She still makes the wine in these things. There's a photo that she posted in Vintage, oh, I don't know, years ago, and she said, oh, these are my babies.
Yeah.
And there was 37 of these things that she's got to punch so down. Cool. She's on top of them, you know. Crazy.
Yeah.
Very, very simple winery.
Yeah.
But it's all made in the vineyard. And she is a horticulturalist by trade. She's never actually studied winemaking.
Shut up.
She started in the Hunter because she'd been travelling overseas and I think she'd done a little bit of vineyard work and she said, oh, I'll just apply. So she applied and then they said, oh, we need people in the winery because vintage is coming up. Do you want to help in the winery? And she went, oh, okay.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she's an amazing – and she's a lovely all-round chick.
Yeah.
I love her.
Well, I haven't met her. That sounds
– oh, really?
No.
Oh, my God, she's fabulous. List. She's now my vice president as well. So Sarah and I –
oh, I didn't know that.
President and vice president of the Yarra Valley Wine Growers Association.
Ooh.
Love.
Yeah. So we've got that Agincourt Cabernet.
Agincourt. Okay. French word. It was the Battle of Agincourt.
I didn't know that.
Okay.
Agincourt.
I'm from Kentucky. You can say whatever you want. It's going to sound right to me.
but I think the – oh, my God, just everything she does is so elegant. Mm. She's the queen of finesse.
And I love a blend. Like, let's take the best of what we want from it and put it all together. And I think Malbec is sort of that silent – not as well respected in a blends. Like everyone uses them a little bit, but it's sort of like you never really think of it and it's just love this wine.
Very young.
Very young.
Yeah, it needs time. I think this was 100. Yeah. What can you say that hasn't been said really about Yarra Yering? I know they're expensive people, but pull your money. They are worth it. To be honest, I would not go for the number one and number two.
Yeah, okay.
I would actually go for her other more interesting blend. She's got some Tarriga Nacional.
Yes.
She does her Pinot, which is, I think it's under the Caritas range, and she does another one. Mm. They're $120.
Yes.
But they're all good.
Mm.
Yeah.
So go for the stuff that she's not doing and this new one.
Meg's just broken the news. They've probably got a whole launch planned. And
well, no, it's on. I'm sure now. if it's on Patty's creative,
if it's on Instagram, like it's out there.
It's out there.
Instagram's like the new press release. We're good.
Just imagine everyone like being like, crap, we've got to get everything together and launch it properly because Meg's just sent out a podcast.
I'll be getting a phone call from Kate. Thank God she's on maternity leave.
I don't think that'll stop
her.
No, she'd still
stop
come
her.
At you.
She would. Okay, so what sorry, Kate, if I've just told everyone and you've had this huge launch party. Organised. And you too, Craig. Sorry.
So what are we eating with this? We said, you know, we've talked about food with other ones. I want a big old, I know it sounds cliche, I want a big steak. A steak with maybe some dark fruit, sauces, jus.
I want, you know, do you know Tira del Asado? So it's like a beef rib that they do in chili and they cook it for about 6 hours, but just literally no flavour, just salt.
Yeah.
And all the juice sort of runs down and you collect all of that and you just put that over potato. That would be.
Oh.
And it's melt. It's like brisket texture.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Good.
Yep. I'm changing
That's
mind
what
to
I
that.
Go. Yep.
I can't. I'm not very good at thinking of foods, but. Just for me, it feels too pretty for a steak. Like, it needs red meat, but I'm like, what is something a bit...
Can't say veal.
No.
They'll come after us.
No, I like the idea with the briskety. Something a little... Yeah. Even like something with a little bit of smoke or something going on with it.
Yeah, smoked.
Like, not quite like your barbecue,
What's
but
that
like...
Carne asada, the tacos, you know, they use that really thin bit of meat that they do on a high heat and then they chop it up and...
Yeah.
Meat.
We're going to lose Meg. Quick, get back to the wine.
We have this Wagyu beef that Pete got from a friend who raises the cattle last night, ribs that he did low and slow on the barbie.
Okay, hang on. I want lamb shoulder with like a pomegranate
she's
salad.
Okay. Yes. So for the fittiness.
Yep. Yeah, I needed to match that kind of bright floralness.
Yep, done.
I found it.
That's perfect.
Great.
Yum.
And I think Malbec does bring that floralness to 100%. It.
Yeah.
But even Cabernet, you know, this is the thing that gets me about the Yarra.
Mm. Oh, man.
Says Yarra, Cabernet, shite.
We've started her in Cabernet.
But look at that. It's okay. How good is that? It's not green or herbal. Yeah. It's beautiful.
That's what I struggle with so much. Like, I don't like capsicum. Like, yeah. as a food, red capsicum, love. Green capsicum, if it's anywhere near me in a food, won't go to it. So sometimes that's all I can pick up.
Yeah.
In some Cabernets, but not this.
No. And I like to say in the Yarra, we don't have green capsicum. We have, it's more of a herbal note.
Mm.
A bay leaf we use a lot. And we don't say.
And you say I'm the master of spin.
Herbaceous with some herbal.
Massive difference.
It is. Herbaceous denotes green, unripe, and herbal just is the herbal note.
Okay.
I'm just laughing. Sorry. There's a, for the Decoded Wine Awards. There's like an ad that plays in the store and it's like herbaceousness. So anytime that word gets around, like, it just reminds me of hearing this ad in the store all the time. So there we go.
That's, do you stop hearing that after a while?
No, we hear it. Which, like, it's catchy, it's good, but it's herbaceousness. It's
many years ago I worked at a winery and we had a video that was on link with this music and you could hear it no matter where you were, either in the winery, in the lab, in the office. It was just, and I saw an ad that they did the other day in the same music and I was just like, oh, my God, PTSD. It's just, no. It was beautiful.
Was it like once a day, once an hour that just like.
All day.
Yep.
That's oh my a God.
Lot. So we would just like run the video without the sound. No, the sound. So the music was written. I mean, big production values.
Mm.
Okay, now we're on to.
Wins.
We love wins. And at the event last week too, so Sue was one of the panel discussionists. So that was really cool. She came into town. Would have probably never met her. Like
Sue Hodder, this is the winemaker for Wins. She's been there years. 20 years?
20, 30. Something very, she's very impressive. She's been
there a very long time. And I got the so Colleen gave us what she wanted to do and when we were talking about Sue. I said, well, it's got to be Cab. And then I got back, which one though?
Oh my God.
So many.
And I just thought.
So many cabs.
Yeah, exactly. I just thought the black label because it's so available. Yeah. It's not hideously expensive. I think it's about $40. Yep. Is that right?
Approachable.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, Growmath says it's $40.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's a wins, huh? WINS. It wins thousands of awards every year. It is just an over the top. It's a heritage wine. It's an iconic wine of Australia.
And it goes forever.
Yes.
Forever.
They age beautifully.
I was back in the States last month and I brought 91 over and had it with mom and dad and it was just like impeccable. Like they just do it so well.
Mm. I also find it's one of the ones that's easy to find in the Lac Museum section.
Yes.
There's always. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say this to dance people and especially the ones listening, but like, why are they so cheap? They only add like an extra $3 or something for salad wine. It's ridiculous.
People are like, oh, we're going out to dinner tonight. I'm like, we're going straight here
because
it's been aged, it's controlled, temperature, humidity, bang. Like, it's awesome.
So do you guys do the aging or do you buy aged stock from the wineries?
No, we buy it like that vintage that year and then
current release.
Hold on to it.
Oh, so you're absorbing the cost of...
Yeah, so Dan's is selling it for you. Like instead of you having to put it in your wine rack, which none of us have enough space for the wine that we want to sell her.
No, and we drink it before we get around to selling it.
Does she hate that?
Oops.
Yeah.
Or it gets put next to the heater or...
Oh, your drunk husband
does. Yes, while you're away.
They were like, oh, my God, one night, Tom, it was a really messy night. We had quite a lot to drink. And Tom goes, oh, I just need something. He was, like, walking someone to the tram stop or something. A bunch of them was walking a girl home. And he goes, I'll just grab something for the walk. And he grabbed, like, a Johan $120 new bottle that was 20 years old or something. And they all just drank it from the bottle.
They wouldn't have even thought about it either.
No.
Oh. Yep. Oopsies.
My husband Grant's amazing. So we have this wine rack and
I'm going to preface before you say something.
Yeah.
Is that what you're
going to
do? He's amazing.
He's amazing. No. He's going to listen to this and go, oh my God, what is she going to say? No, he actually just sort of knows like if it's on the rack, we just don't touch it. Like we've had to sort, like I've separated. We're like, we can drink these now. This is fine to just grab from. But I mean, I'll do it too if I have friends over, you know, oh, we'll just open this. And it's like, nah, if it's in this section of the wine rack, we do not touch it.
My husband doesn't care. He just, I've tried to, in the wine fridge, put the stuff that I want to age down the bottom.
Yes, it's harder to grab. Yeah.
But the other day there was a Casa Real, which is from Chile, 1996 Cabernet, and I really want to hold on to it. But it was facing outwards, so it was like this, so he could see it at the bottom, and it's the first thing that caught his eye, and he picked it up and went, no!
Oh, my God.
And the 1996 is tiny on it, and he wouldn't have had his reading glasses on, so he just went, oh, yeah. He wouldn't even probably notice that it was chilly.
Oh, no.
So I'm just like, just don't look south of that line.
Yeah.
Everything above, yeah. Well, I can't bloody drink anything above that because most of it's Mega Mel wine. Because we're colonising. Well, I've emptied it a little bit now because we're doing our old vine episode.
Oh, fun.
Yep.
Yes.
So.
Wins. Sue.
Coonawarra. So, Sue.
She was their first chief winemaker at Wins.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She was, I love, you know, obviously I said to my Rachel, so Gourmet Travelers Winemaker of the Year 2010, Australian Women in Wine Awards, Women of Inspiration in 2017.
And she's also a really nice human being.
Oh my gosh, she's so lovely. She's amazing. Because when I tagged them on Instagram and she sent me a message, she's like, oh, you're in Kentucky. It's like, yeah, this is where I'm originally from. She's like, I had a gap year in Kentucky. So we actually sat down the other night and we were just talking about like,
nice.
She loves like the area and the horses and just so easy to talk to. Fantastic human.
What was she doing in just
a gap year?
Kentucky. Weird place to end up.
Yeah.
Was she into horses?
I think you have to be a little bit
okay
to go to Kentucky, either that or bourbon, like, or maybe.
I know which one would take me there.
Yeah, neither.
Really?
No, I don't like bourbon and horses. Mm.
Mm. College basketball? Can I get you with that?
No. Nothing sporty.
I don't mind basketball. Mm. Yeah, I'm in there.
All over the rugby at the moment because New Zealand just beat Ireland, which they weren't expected to do, so. My husband's happy.
Yes. No, all right. You're right. But it's easy to see. It's easy to find. Like, and again, it's one of those ones that, you know, you're going to get quality for it.
Yeah.
And you know what's interesting? I was going to say it's great to age too. It's under Selvin. All the wines today we've had were under Selvin. Not a cork in sight.
Because women winemakers are smart.
But isn't that interesting to note? None of the wines. Yeah. And I think too, there was a few other ones on the list that we were thinking about. And I don't think...
Any
they
of
do.
Them. That
there
is
was,
very interesting.
There was Yara Yering. Yeringberg. Is Sandra under cork for her Syrah? Because that's what we were talking about as well.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't get that because it was. I had to get it delivered and I didn't plan enough time.
I reckon she does have stuff under cork.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, today's theme.
Yes.
Not quite.
But the bit about the winds, it has got that herbal note.
Mm-hmm.
It's got some black currant, blackberry, beautiful, lovely oak in there. And what as vintage? You said, they are 21. So
oh, I just want to age it.
Yeah.
Well, I'd for 38, 40, I think it is.
Find it in the aged section.
But we do. We have it in cellar release and it literally, it's still release. Under 40. Like I think it's like 38.
So
and what year is it under cellar release, you know?
Oh, you're testing me. Like
I reckon I got
16, 18?
I reckon I got a 2014 the other day.
Yeah.
Because we looked at it when we did our cellar release thing, but we both got whites. That was weird.
We got reds as
well. Yeah. Maybe I got one. Can't remember.
Maybe
anyway.
We did it. Who knows? We drink a lot of wine.
But it's just, and like they do the big, you know, the Wednesday release every year, and it's like a bit of a thing, and it's just a safe, not safe because that sounds not positive, but you know it's just always going to be good.
Yeah.
And everyone's always going to enjoy it every time you open Wins.
It's a classic.
Classic.
Well, to finish off, Colleen, what would you say to women listening who are thinking about getting into the wine industry in one area or another?
Give it a go. We're really fun. I think we're really friendly. Like you always hear about, you know, the competition or the cattiness and it's just like
nah.
It's not a thing and it's just it needs more people to sort of get around it and support it. And I think sometimes people get scared because it's like, oh, you know, the old white guy's drinking the wine and it sounds really wanky. And it's just like, no, it's really fun. And
that is really wanky.
Yeah, I know, but we don't do that.
Yeah, we don't do that. It doesn't have to be that
doesn't
way.
Have
it
to
it
be.
Happens. We just don't do that.
Yeah.
We might just do that with champagne. But no, it's give it a go. And I think there's so many avenues, whether it's, you know, retail or if you want to do sommelier and hospitality or viticulture or winemaking or teaching, like, so many revenues. So
awesome.
Yeah. I agree.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It was brilliant to have you on. Where can people follow you?
So I am Colleen_Hegarty on Instagram. So I think I'm pretty easy to find. There's not too many Colleens, I don't think, around there.
And you post good stuff as well. Oh, so you. People who are interested in wine should do it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us. We will be back in your ears next week. But until then, enjoy your next glass of wine.
Drink well.
Bye.